Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have Kyla Marie here. We're going to talk about body confidence, but first I'll introduce her. Kyla Marie is a certified Access Bars practitioner, professional photographer, and a self-love and body confidence coach for women. She's passionate about inspiring women to get out of judgment of their bodies so they can finally stop worrying about what they look like and show up and shine in their lives. Her story of triumph over bullying, death, divorce, and poor body image has inspired many people around the world to experience the peace, joy, and freedom that comes with true self-love and confidence. Welcome, Kayla.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
I'm so excited to have this conversation. We have a lot to unpack, and this is a big topic now we're seeing in the media, in social media, and also as we're aging, you know, as our perimenopausal mamas listeners are probably noticing, our body changes, right? We think we have to look like we did in our 30s, but as hormones shift, as lifestyle changes shift, then we see things change, not always for the worse, but, you know, some areas are getting bigger, some areas are getting smaller, but we're here to talk about body confidence. And before we jump in, there's a lot of terms being thrown around. There's, you know, body positivity is a big one, body neutrality, and body confidence. Can you explain the differences between those for our listeners?
Yeah, I think there's, like you said, there's a lot of body positivity is a very big buzzword nowadays. And for some people, that can seem like a very far stretch, especially if you've been on more of the spectrum of not liking your body or even self-loathing, when you look in the mirror and it's a very big stretch for some people to get to, I love my body. So that's kind of where neutrality comes in. And that's where you can say, hey, I can be neutral about my body. Like, it doesn't matter what my body looks like, but I can still have appreciation for it. And that appreciation is kind of what can move you towards the love portion. But I always say that the first thing you want to do is just to practice that neutrality, which I also call self-acceptance, right? You're at where you're at right now, and that's okay. And honoring that instead of judging it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important to note, right? It's not like I have to love my whole body and everything about me. It's like, yeah, this is who I am. This, my body does great things for me. It doesn't have to be perfect, and just accepting it in the moment. So I think that's a great distinction. And then the body confidence is something you help foster in your clients.
Yeah. And body confidence is just, you know, my body is good no matter what it looks like, you know, and it, again, it's pretty close to just what people would call body love, or, you know, body, like having a good body image. There's all different ways and words of explaining it. But, you know, for me, what body confidence means is that I love my body as it is. And it doesn't mean that I always feel positive about my body. So I guess that's the distinction right there, is that, you know, I can look in the mirror and maybe one day I'll have a bad body image day, and I'll look in the mirror and be judging myself. And that's part of the journey. And it's okay that we have those days. But I think where we run into trouble is where we're expecting that we're just going to love our body every single day, and it's just beautiful. And, you know, that, like I said, it can be a far stretch. And then yet another expectations on ourselves, like we're going from like having the expectation of, you know, with your audience, maybe it's like having that youth, having that vigor, having, you know, we can go all the way and say like specific items, like, you know, my boobs, even at me, I'm 33, my boobs are a lot, they're further down than they were when I was in my 20s. Right. And that's okay. Right. Like being okay with that process of aging and being okay with your body as it is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to recognize, yeah, we are more than our looks and our body. And there's so much societal pressure to look and be a certain way as a mom, as a female. And I love that you're breaking down these expectations and barriers, and we're more than our physicality.
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the biggest and I guess most frequent hashtags that I use is more than a body. You know, if we go back to, it was a couple years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, Princey A, he released a video that says, you know, I am not Black. And it's about the identifying as the body. He's, so for example, I drive a Jeep Cherokee. I don't confuse myself to be a Jeep Cherokee. I just know that I drive a Jeep Cherokee. And if we think about our bodies in that way, yes, we have to do the maintenance. We have to take care of our bodies for sure. We can't just ignore the fact that we have it, but it's also not our identity. It's not our only point of worth. And in fact, our body should be like the least interesting thing about us, right?
Right. I love that analogy. That's a great visual. So yeah, you have to maintain your car, you know, you drive it, but it doesn't define you. And there's going to be things that shift and change and break down over time. And that's okay. You put some love and care into it and get going again and get on with it. So I love that. Thank you for sharing. And then being 33, have you, you know, tell me a little bit about your journey with self-love and body confidence and how you got into this field.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to share my story. So I was bullied when I was a child. I've basically, since I hit puberty, have always been like, I guess, a curvier woman, what I guess they would say. And so it's been a journey of over, what's that? I don't know, 15, 16, approaching 20 years now, where I've been on this journey of, you know, self-love and confidence and learning how to love myself, how to validate myself, because we weren't taught to do that as children. In fact, we're probably conditioned against it, right? Because of all of the messaging that we get from magazines, from now social media, bombarding us with the fact that we should always look young and we should always look this. And it sets these crazy expectations that in fact we are pressing upon ourselves as well. And so that's why, you know, I've been on this journey of self-love and confidence so that I could feel that. And I say that in my, you know, in my bio, it says the peace and the freedom that comes with that. Wow. Ladies, if we didn't focus on what we look like all the time, think of all the energy that you'd have to put into other things.
Definitely. I know it can suck up a lot of your brain power, time, and energy. Just like, how do I look in this? How's my body looking in this position? It's really draining.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's like, then when we have body confidence and we have self-love, first of all, as mothers, you know, I'm not a mother, but I have nieces and nephews that are always watching me, and they know that I'm on this journey, and I've been able to teach them the tools to love themselves. Like I said, no one taught me how to do that. I wish somebody had taught me how to do that, but they didn't. And so, and again, that's not something we're taught in school. So you are the example for your children too. And I know a lot of my clients have come to me saying, you know, I know I'm not setting a great example for my kids. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. And that's the work that I do with my clients, and I love it.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it's hard because a lot of times with kids, yeah, it's, they're looking for that external reward. And when we see kids or girls, it's like, oh, you look so pretty in that dress. And for the guys, oh, you're so strong. It's mm-hmm. all of these labels that we're putting on children and focusing on the wrong things, right? And so I really am aware of the language that I'm using. And even, you know, growing up in my 20s, 30s, it was a huge compliment if someone said, oh, it looks like you lost weight. Like that was the best compliment that I could think of at that time. And now it's like, why does that matter? And why is that even the focus? So I'm glad we're having this conversation today. And then how were you in your teenage years then? Can you describe a little bit about your confidence levels then?
Yeah. Like I mentioned, I was bullied quite a bit for being, you know, a bigger girl in my class. And, you know, a lot of it was surrounding my appearance as well. Like you said, I wasn't taught to validate myself with the intrinsic value. Like I am smart, I am beautiful, I What else? Just trying to think off the top of my head. Or I'm kind, compassionate. Like I didn't learn to value myself that way. So of course, when I was being bullied by actually my siblings and my peers for, you know, the ugly words that kids throw around, like you're fat, or, you know, I actually had I guess it was a neighbor say to me this one time, you know, you'd be a bombshell if you just lost 30 pounds. And as a 15-year-old girl, I was like, so I'm not a bombshell now. Like I'm not okay or good enough until I lose weight. Like that was always the narrative because I was pretty, but that's the narrative I was fed as a teenager. And I felt that energy even from the boys, right? Like you're pretty, but you know, there's this, so there's something wrong with you. And I've been reprogramming my brain ever since.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough process, right? It's a journey.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm very transparent about that with my clients. It's like, there's no destination. That's the thing. It's not like you just arrive and you're always confident. You always love yourself and you're in every single moment. Nope. That's not what it is. Is you get the tools to, when something triggers you, you know how to deal with it. So you don't spiral into, you know, self-deprecating thoughts or low self-esteem again. You know how to pick yourself back up.
Mm-hmm. It's fostering those skills. Yeah. It's usually that mentality of I'm not enough. If I look like this, or if this happens, then I'll be happy. But it's really accepting you in the here and now and fostering self-love. So how do we actually stop caring what other people think about us? Because a lot of us do base how we feel on others' comments or if we're meeting their expectations.
Yeah. Well, how to stop caring what other people think of you. The biggest tip that I can give you for that is to stop judging you. You got to stop judging you. Because when you stop, then no matter what anybody else says, you're good. You love the human being that you see in the mirror because you've done the inner work. So for example, when I started putting myself out there more on social media, I come from a small town. And so a lot of people would say things like, oh, she's just looking for attention or she's looking for likes. And, you know, I could have fallen into that and then hidden away, but I didn't because I knew myself and I knew why I was doing it. I did it because, you know, I put pictures of myself online in a bikini or my underwear because I want to inspire other women to feel free to not care what other people think. And so the fact that I knew why I was doing it, and that's kind of what it boils down to, is when you know yourself and you love the human being that you are in the mirror and you're not judging you, what anybody else says does not matter.
I love that. It starts with the stopping the self-judgment, and then you have that barrier, you're resilient. It doesn't matter what other people think of you because you know what to be true is true, and their perception doesn't really matter. So it's a work in progress, right? And I think I'm taking, you know, years of undoing all of those beliefs that have been imprinted on us and then continually being imprinted on us, as you said, in social media, on TV shows, in the movies. And I've heard you talk about curating what you're intaking in terms of a social media perspective, and probably online and through television, et cetera. So can you talk a little bit about that? How can we surround ourselves with body confident people that are going to fill us up and not deplete us or tear us down?
Totally. Well, I think a lot of it starts with self-awareness. So when you're scrolling on your feed, a lot of times you don't notice right away that this is happening, but you're comparing yourself. Comparisonitis, I call it.
I love that.
So you get a bad case of that, and all of a sudden you're comparing yourself, even if you're comparing yourself to a younger version of you. No.
Right.
You are who you are right now, right? A lot of times we go, like I said, my boobs looked a lot different when I was 20.
After breastfeeding, they get really small. I was surprised by that. So not that I've noticed before, yeah. But they got even smaller.
Yeah. Right. And for some women, they get bigger. For some people, they get smaller. Yeah, for me, mine is a result of like more weight gain and weight loss, right? Because I've never been pregnant, but that's my journey of my body, right? And everybody's a little bit different, but yeah, as far as curating your feed, making sure that when you notice, you have that awareness of your own thoughts, when you're judging yourself or you're comparing yourself to someone else, you go, oh, okay, I'm noticing that I'm not feeling good about this. So I'm triggered and, you know, getting curious, what is this really about for me? Is a really great question to ask yourself, especially when you, and the way that I teach my clients is like, when you start to notice that dip in your mood or what I call your vibration, right? When you notice that dip, you start to feel crappy, right? Like that's the ding-a-ling-ling. That's an alarm bell going off. Like, hey, I need to pay attention here. What's really going on? And many times for, you know, those of us who are on social media, that's the trigger. And it doesn't mean that you can't be on social media, but what you can do is follow influencers who are body diverse, right? Maybe more people of color, more people, like I follow some people with disabilities. Like you have that, it's called a feed for a reason, right? It's feeding you information. And if you diversify your feed, that way you see other examples and not just what Hollywood or what the algorithm is favoring. And, you know, sometimes it means unfollowing somebody for a certain amount of time until you've done the inner healing work where maybe then you can decide consciously to follow that person again, or decide, you might decide at that point, no, this doesn't add to my life. It doesn't inspire me. So I'm not going to follow this person. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, the self-love journey, but also a very tangible thing that you can do to foster that self-love.
Definitely. I love that, getting curious about what you're feeling, tapping into that vibration or that gut feeling. How do you feel after seeing that post or that picture, and then making a decision and being curious, but not beating yourself up about, oh, I should be feeling this way or looking that way. So that's really powerful. So I think we can all go through our feeds and see who raises our vibrations and who brings the vibration down, and consciously follow or unfollow. I love that. And everybody should follow you on Instagram as well.
I would love that. I love that.
I love your account. Yeah, it's so great to see that confidence. You're like, this is me. But I'm sure that's been challenging too, right? Are you getting like trolls or people that are really negative commenting or responding? Not that they should be, because, yeah, you know, there's no reason to, but.
Well, I've been really fortunate enough to not really have too much of that in my or on my social media. I don't know if it's like I have a protective bubble around me, or maybe I'm not quite big enough yet for the haters to come around. I've had, you know, inappropriate comments from men, things like that, that I've had to deal with for sure. And for me, again, it comes back to me knowing myself and knowing why I'm doing this. And it's not for men. It's not like, if you don't like my body or whatever, that's okay, honey. It's fine. You can unfollow me. Like I know myself and I know why I'm doing this. And that's what it boils down to. I think having that strong sense helps. I guess that's your armor basically against any haters, right? Is like, when you know you, it's fine. Anybody can say anything about you. It's like, you would just recognize it as an untruth or a lie. So for example, someone said like, something that you know about yourself. So I know myself to be a very intelligent woman. So if someone said to me, Kayla, you're dumb, I would be like, no, sorry, that's just not true. But it's when you think what the other people are saying about you is true, that's the dangerous part. That's where it starts to affect your self-esteem. So that's where you go back into yourself and go, okay, where do I think that this is true about me? Mm-hmm. And doing that inside work, because it's all inside. It's an inside job.
Definitely. Yeah, I love that. So just being aware of, yeah, what that brings up in you. If someone makes a negative comment and it's like, okay, that's an area I can be curious about and focus on and work through. Yeah. So if someone has, you know, someone, I see so many of my patients, so many women in the Wild Collective, where they're like, I really don't like my body. Like, yeah, maybe I like my ankles, but I'm just in a fight against my body. I'm trying to lose the 5 pounds. I want to have the flat tummy that I used to have. What's a step that those women can start to take to foster body confidence?
That's a really good question, because I've definitely been there, right? Where I looked in the mirror and I literally could not find a thing that I liked about myself.
Yeah.
And I've been in a place where I've looked in the mirror and literally fallen in love with my reflection. And I don't mean to the point of narcissism, because that word is thrown around a lot and way too much. I think that, you know, if you're asking yourself, first of all, I just want to address this because it's coming up. If you're asking yourself if you're a narcissist, you're not a narcissist.
That's a good way to put it. They're usually oblivious, right?
100%. Or they know that they're a narcissist and they act that way anyway, right? Like, it's not narcissistic or selfish or arrogant to like the yourself. So if there's anybody out there right now who's thinking like, oh, I'm tooting my own horn or whatever, that's honestly just societal conditioning. That's not you. Like, we're meant to shine. We're meant to shine our unique light. And when we're trying to be something and, you know, adhere to what I would call societal beauty culture standards, diet culture, when we're trying to adhere to that, we can't be our true selves, because we're literally just trying to adhere to those standards and that's it. And, you know, that makes life really boring and really uncomfortable for a lot of people, especially who don't fit into that standard. Yeah. So anyway, what was the question?
For the women, oh, that's okay. No, it's great. It's such valuable information for all of us to hear. If women, you know, are struggling with having self-love and body confidence, they're just struggling with, I need to be better. I need to lose weight. I need to have a flatter, you know, I need to have flatter abs. What's one step to get them on the journey to self-love and body confidence that they can take?
Yeah. A lot of what I do with my clients as well is mirror work. And I know that can be really difficult for some people and triggering for some people. So if it's very, very triggering, I would always recommend that you do this with the support of a therapist or, you know, someone who can help support you through very, very difficult emotions in regards to, let's say, if you have an eating disorder or maybe body dysmorphia or something like that. Obviously get professional help. But a way that I started my journey was mirror work. And that was me practicing gratitude for my body. And that had nothing to do with what it looked like. Right. And like I said, at the beginning of the interview here, being neutral instead of just trying to jump to, oh, I love my stomach. Well, I don't actually ever really say that. You know, I say, I love you, body. Thank you for taking me through this life. Oh, look, like, thank you for my strong legs that get me through the day, or my arms that hold my loved ones, or do my makeup or my hair. Like, and when you shift into gratitude, you can start to get that feeling almost of love, because gratitude and love are a very similar vibration. So if you kind of listen to the way that my voice was before when we're talking about judgment, and then when we talk about gratitude, the vibration is completely different. So that is a way that it's almost like a little hack that you can get to raise your vibration. Gratitude is not what I thought at the beginning of my journey was very like a weak tool or a very kind of fluffy tool, but it's not. It's really the cornerstone for especially when you're asking about having a really tough time. That's a great place to start. Is gratitude, and not just going through the motions, but truly, truly sitting down with it and feeling it in your body.
Amazing. So looking in the mirror, like stripping down, I'm guessing, if you're comfortable with naked. That.
Yeah.
Saying to your body what you're grateful that it does for you. Like for some of our women, you know, with the looser stomach area, okay, well, I carried a baby in here and I'm really grateful that I was able to do that. Or, oh, my smaller boobs, well, I was able to breastfeed. So I'm glad they were able to provide nourishment. So I think that's a really great practice. And in my daily gratitude journaling, I've incorporated a line where there's gratitude for my body. So whether it's, like you mentioned, strong legs so I can walk and play with my son, or eyes that I can see with, because some people can't even see, right? And that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, they get by. But I think that's been a great practice to add to my journaling. And I love that gratitude practice. It really does raise your vibration. And it's not, you know, pretending that everything is perfect, but it's shifting the focus, right? Do you ever get people to kind of focus on the areas that they're more self-aware or insecure about, and have a conversation or activity around that?
Yeah. You know, I did it myself. I was actually going to mention that is like, depending on where you're at in your journey and honor this, like if you're not ready to address that quote unquote problem area or like with the area that you're judging most, that's okay. Right. For me, like I can't say, you know, oh, I have loose skin on my stomach because of carrying a baby. I don't have that option. Right. But what I can do is totally not focus on that area at all. And I can say, oh, I'm grateful for my legs. I'm grateful for, oh, look at my hair, whatever. And that still gives you the feeling of gratitude. It still raises your vibration and your opinion about yourself. So basically how the brain works is that for one negative, you need three positives to overcome the negative conditioning that you have about yourself. So if you think, let's say, well, my stomach is saggy, let's just say, then you could replace that with three things that you're grateful for about your body that have nothing to do with your stomach. So that is what you can do if you're not ready to address the actual, like where you're judging yourself.
That's so powerful. I didn't know the three positives to outweigh the one negative. So great tip.
Yes. Yes. And that's why it can be tough. You can't do one-to-one because that won't actually reprogram your brain. Mm-hmm. Right? One comment, one positive to one negative is just going to kind of neutralize it. So that's why you have to keep going with the appreciation, with the love, with the gratitude. But if you, and that's another thing is that I've done for me, for my body is, you know, that is an area that I do judge because I don't have a flat stomach and never have since I was like a 12-year-old girl, right? I've always had a little bit of a tummy. And what I do is put my hands on that area and I say, I love you. It's okay. Or you can use the Ho'oponopono method, which is, I always get this, I have to like write it down for myself sometimes, like, but it's, thank you. I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Anyway, you guys can look it up.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So you can use that on your own body and just say, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That's what it is.
Great.
So I'm sorry for the judgment, right? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And I literally put my hands on that area of my body that I'm judging. And it is powerful, super powerful, because that's you taking control of your own body autonomy about the way that you think about your body, not having anything to do with what society says. This is between you and your body.
That's so powerful. So it's, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Yes.
Okay. We'll put it in the show notes, but so powerful.
Yes, very. And even if you just try that one thing, you know, and again, you got to be ready for it. Sometimes, you know, you got to do some of the other work first and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is, yeah, it sounds like these are things that need to be done, obviously, repeatedly. Do you recommend like a certain amount of time each day? I guess it varies for each person, but what is there kind of a sweet spot for setting aside some time and intention to work on body confidence and self-love?
Well, it's kind of like showering. Yeah, you should probably do it each day. Yeah. Or every other day.
Maybe not during the pandemic with the showering, but you know,
yeah,
nobody can smell you. I'm just joking.
Right. I know. That's like, yeah. Well, that's honestly how I've done it. It's when you want to make it a habit, usually when you're making a habit, you want to put it on another, like you can stack it on top of another habit. So for me, it is showering, right? So when I get out of the shower, before I get dressed, I go and I do my mirror work. So I dry myself off, go in front of the mirror naked, and I do my work. So maybe for me, that's every other day, whatever. Maybe for some people that's twice a day, right? But you can stack it on a habit that you already have. Maybe it's when you're brushing your teeth. Maybe it's like any time that you're in front of the mirror, you can take that time. I've also put sticky notes on mirrors. I've also written on my mirrors with dry erase marker so that you can have that visual reminder to do that work.
Perfect. Yeah. Great tips there. So just fostering that as a practice, pairing it to something else you're already doing and it becomes automatic. And then over time, you know, you'll notice shifts. Like how do you measure kind of progress with your clients as they're doing these activities or exercises? How do you measure that success?
So usually, and I mean, this is very, very illogical way of doing it. And it's can be tough, right? To measure progress, self-love. Like, how do you do that? Right. So kind of what I do with my clients is I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about your body right now? And so you can do that daily, you know, in a journal practice. You can go, yeah, maybe I'm feeling a 5 today. And then you, maybe the next day you do a little bit more work and you're feeling a 6. And then maybe another day you have a bad body image day. Let's say, I don't know, you put a pair of pants on and they don't fit properly. So maybe you go down to a 4 that day. That's okay. Right. Just knowing that hopefully the trend is going up, right? As you're doing the work, hopefully the trend is going into the higher numbers, right? One being, I hate myself. I do not like the way I look. I can barely even stand to look at myself in the mirror. And then 10 being, I'm so confident. Like I could walk around naked in a mall. It doesn't matter. Right. And so that's kind of how I very logically measure it. But if you go into where women are really good at feeling, right, it's checking in with yourself. How do you feel today?
Right. Yeah. And then looking at giving it a number and recognizing, I like that you pointed out that it can fluctuate. It's not just going to be on the continual up and up. There's going to be days where you dip back down to a 3 out of 10, and other days you might be a 6 out of 10. But hopefully, you know, the overall trend is there's higher number days than lower number days. And then I know with the body neutrality, body positivity movement, there's talk too about, like, how do you determine, you know, if you're exercising and eating well for the right reasons, right? And what if you need to lose weight for health? How can you make that align with self-love and body confidence?
Ooh, I'm really glad you asked that question, actually, because that can really, really mess some people up. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So like I said, I'm glad you asked that question, because in the body positivity movement, there's a lot of shame around people wanting to lose weight. And people are grappling with it. And I did it myself for quite some time until I realized that I do these things because I love myself, not because I hate myself. So that's the very tiny little mental shift that you can make. And you can say, like, I'm working out because I love my body, because my body wants to move, right? Our bodies are designed to move. We're not designed to sit on the couch and eat Cheetos and not that there's any judgment around that when you have to do that sometimes, right? And I'm not pushing this rule on anybody, but I feel my best when I eat like according to the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time I eat foods that my body loves, that makes her run at optimum. And then 20% of the time I eat fun foods and I have no guilt about that because it's balanced, right? Like for me, that's how I know I feel good. So you can just kind of go into what feels good for you, right? Pay attention to that. Be self-aware for that. But that's the huge thing that I figured out for me, was that I want to do this stuff because I love myself, because I want to honor my body, not because I hate myself.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good distinction. So the reasons behind it, yeah, is it because I'm doing it for my health? I want to be healthier, have less weight on my joints, be able to run after my kids? Or is it I have to fit into that dress for the reunion party or look a certain mm-hmm. way, right? So I'm glad yeah. you distinguish between that. And because there can be a lot of self-aggression towards food and nutrition when the goal is weight loss for the wrong reasons. And we're not necessarily listening to our body and moving in ways that make us feel good and not be really sore or, you know, impact our cortisol levels and our sleep. And I love exercising too. And yeah, it's for my mental health, for my energy, for my strength. And I know I need to keep my bones strong as I get older. So yeah, all these reasons, right? So bringing the focus to that.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, definitely. Because you're not working out and eating healthy. And again, you can change the languaging around that. I know I do. So for me, it's not, I don't work out or exercise, because those kind of words have been, you know, they have what I would call, I guess, a negative energy associated with them. So a lot of times what I do is, you know, say I'm training, or I have, you know, I'm training for strength, or I'm joyfully moving my body today. We call it joyful movement in my community. And so what are you doing today to make your body happy, right? Maybe one day it's yoga. Maybe it's strength training one day. Maybe it's running for some people. Maybe it's swimming. Maybe it's dancing, right? Like there's so many different ways that you can move your body. But when you like I said, make that mental shift from I have to I get to because I love myself. That's a huge shift.
Right. Yeah. Bringing in that enjoyment. So there can be an enjoyment with movement, with training, instead of like, I have to go to the gym and I hate the gym, or
yeah,
I have to eat, you know, all vegetables and protein and nothing else. And I'm hating all my food, but we can still do these things and eat these things that we like, but in moderation and following, if it resonates with you, the 80-20 rule or whatever feels right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And intuitive eating is another thing too, that people can look into as well. I'm, you know, on my journey with food and relationship with food and everything else. So, but I've found that to be really helpful as well, which is basically what I've been teaching my clients for the last couple of years. It just now has a name to it, or I have something to say, like, you know, checking in with your body and going, what do you want to eat today? And sometimes it's crazy how this works, but sometimes you'll literally get a picture in your mind of what your body wants to eat. Like legit. It's crazy. It's crazy how that can, and especially when you really tune into your body and you really have a good relationship with your body, because that's another thing, is we've been highly, highly divorced from our own bodies because we're relying on external sources to tell us when to eat, what's good, what's bad. And then the other thing is in diet cultures, they all tend to contradict each other. So then you're left with confusion, but your body is never confused about what it desires. Maybe one time it's a decadent, delicious slice of cheesecake. And then maybe the next meal it's salad and some shrimp, or, you know, whatever. But like I said, if you actually get really good at tuning into your body, developing that relationship with your body, you'd be really surprised at how clear those messages become.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us have lost that trust that we're going to pick what we actually need. It's like, oh, I think I'm going to overeat this. But I see it with my son, Stuart. He, you know, some days he's all about the veggies. Some days he's all about the protein or carbs. And if he has options for, you know, sweets or desserts, he doesn't overindulge. He eats what satisfies him and then he's done. It's not like he's stuffing his face with the whole bag of mini chocolate bars. So yeah, we have that inside of us and it has been beaten out. We've had Jay Baum, a guest, a dietitian, talked about intuitive eating for kids. And then there'll be an episode with a nutritionist about, you know, nutrition and nourishing ourselves from an intuitive eating perspective. But I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's a really important skill for us to relearn, is to trust our body, even through movement and through eating, what it needs.
Yes.
Love it. So when, you know, when I first heard about body positivity, my immediate thought was, okay, I have to go book a boudoir session and sit down and take photos and share with some people. Do you go to those extremes sometimes? And are there exercises where people are really pushed out of their comfort zone? Granted, the mirror episode or the mirror exercise could be one of those, but anything a little more extreme for some people that you recommend?
It's interesting that you asked that question too, because as a professional photographer, that's kind of where it's another story for another day, but it's almost, it is definitely part of my journey of becoming a body image coach or a body confidence coach, because I was doing boudoir and beauty photography with women and I could see how super hard they were on themselves. You know, could you edit this out? Could you make me 10 pounds smaller in this area? Could you make my boobs bigger, make my butt rounder, whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, sure, I can do that, but that's not you. And that's not you accepting you. And it just didn't sit well with me. So what I actually ended up doing was becoming that coach. And I didn't even set out to do that. It's interesting how that worked. But going back to your question about boudoir photography or just photography in general, you don't have to go and get a boudoir session. You can just go, you know, to a photographer and say, I want a session just for me. And you can wear whatever you want, what you don't want. I mean, sure, it's empowering to put yourself outside your comfort zone and, you know, maybe get down to your birthday suit. And maybe you just keep those images just for you, because sometimes seeing yourself through the light of someone else's eyes can really help to boost your confidence. Because there's also, sure, there's going to be some angles that you don't like, right? When the photographer shows you your images. But there's also going to be ones that you do love. And it's an exercise right there. That's an invitation for growth, because you can say, you know, this is me at this angle, but this is also me at this angle, which is great, you know? And usually you're going to pick the ones that you love, and you have those ones surrounding you. So it's almost like it's validation for yourself that you do appreciate your body no matter what size it is. And don't wait until you're 10 pounds smaller or whatever. Don't wait for that. Do it now.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So just booking a session with a photographer, wearing whatever you want or nothing at all, but looking at all the pictures and accepting the ones that maybe you're not a huge fan of, and really focusing on the ones that really make you vibrate at a higher level. Are you still doing photography services? And then if you can kind of explain the other services that you offer for women who want to foster more self-love and body confidence.
Absolutely. Yeah. I still do photography as well. I'm more focused on business branding and social media images, just because I love working one-on-one. I love the confidence boost that already comes. And I don't know what kind of magic it is that I work with my with my photography clients, but they're always like, wow, it was such a great confidence boost. And, you know, I guess it's because I have the marriage of those two things, you know, being a coach. So I coach them through maybe they have an insecurity, but I'm their cheerleader. I'm their coach. I'm like, hey, you're beautiful. And I love this angle on you. And sometimes, like I said, having that affirmation of someone else telling you something you never even considered before is awesome. So that's mainly what I do with the photography, is branding and just, you know, personal photography. And then, with my coaching, I have a few different things. So I have a course that is called Body Bliss Bootcamp. I also have my Body Bliss virtual retreat that's going 3 times a year. So that's another great way. And some transformations have been amazing there. Like one of my clients said she hadn't felt that great in 15 years after that. And I was just like, wow, this is why I do what I do, is because I want you to feel amazing. I want you to quit thinking about what you're, you know, looking like per se, and value the woman that you are today. And those are the two main ways, or I can work one-on-one obviously as well with anybody who's interested. So
I love all that. You're really filling in a gap, a place where people are wanting to work on, but they're not really sure where to get started. So we'll be sure to link to your social media account. And I think you had something to offer our listeners as well, if you could share that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have time in my calendar to always set aside to chat with you about what are your hangups, and, you know, see how I can help you. And then I also have a body love meditation that I give as a gift. So that body love meditation has been actually really popular, my most downloaded service for sure. And it's basically just helps you to dissipate any judgment that you might have about your body. So it goes through each part of your body and helps you to release that judgment, mostly through breath. And it works super, super well. And I've had really good success with all my clients with it. So
amazing.
That is my gift. Yeah.
So lots of different ways people can benefit from your services. And then on social media, if you can remind me your handle.
It's confident.kayla.marie.
Great. Okay, perfect. So Instagram, Facebook.
Yep. Instagram is the best way. Facebook, I'm not a lot on that one, just because there's so many avenues.
I know, it's exhausting to try to be on all of them.
Right. So if you don't catch me on Facebook, try Instagram. And if not, even email is great too. Like it's confident.kayla.marie@gmail.com.
Perfect. So we'll be sure to link to those. Is there anything you feel that we didn't cover that you want to discuss before we move to the next part of the podcast?
You know what? I think we covered a lot.
A great information and shared some great practical advice so people can start their journey of self-love and body confidence today. No more excuses, ladies.
That's funny.
Ladies.
Yeah. I think the major thing, and I talk about this a lot in my talks, in all my events and workshops and all the things that I've done, is when you stop judging you. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Because if you're judging you, then you've lost half the battle right there.
Mm-hmm. We all deserve the self-love and body confidence now, not 5 pounds later, not when fill in the blank, right?
Yeah. Because what happens if that never comes?
Mm-hmm.
And you Definitely. Like, you could go tomorrow, you don't know. Right. And then, or miss memories. Like I've heard a lot about, you know, moms not going to the beach with their babies because they are uncomfortable in their bodies. It's, to me, it's like, you know what, just make the memories,
mm-hmm.
stop judging you and make the memories.
Definitely. Well, thanks again. So we'll definitely have to have you on for another episode. I know there's so much we can dive into. So if you're interested in coming back in the future, let me know. And then we'll move to the next part of the podcast. So this is where we ask our guests their super mom or super aunt moment. Do you want me to go first or did you want to start?
Sure, you go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So my super mom moment for the week is that I'm really trying to mix up our routine. It's easy, you know, when you have kids to kind of wake up, do the same things. We still have fun, you know, at home. We play board games after Stuart's home from preschool or take him out for a bike ride. But I've really been trying to maximize summer and plan some activities like going for a picnic instead of having dinner at home or going over to my sister's house and using their trampoline. So that's my super mom moment. Just taking a little bit of extra effort to try and do something different when the weather's really nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then do you want to share a super aunt moment, Kayla?
Yeah. I think the one that comes to mind, obviously I'm not with my nieces and nephews every single week, but this was a few months ago when my niece was staying with me and she's 17 now. So she's at that age where, you know, body image is a big thing that they're thinking about. And I had just gotten my photos back from my photographer. And I was showing her basically that, you know, it's not that I don't have to do the work because here's the work that I'm doing. So I brought her into my office and I said, you know, I'm judging these parts of myself right now, just being really vulnerable and honest with you. And so I could focus on those things or I could focus on what I really love about this photo. And then I did a little bit of that exercise and she's like, oh, and I love this about it and this about it, Auntie. And it's like, see, that's all it takes is like a difference of focus. So yeah, sure. Maybe you don't like that thing about yourself and you have amazing hair or you have amazing whatever. And that, I think that was one of my super aunt moments because I actually was able to teach her in real time how to use the tool.
That's so powerful. I think that's a great exercise. And we can all do that looking at our own pictures as well.
Thank you. Yeah, pictures, even in a moment in the mirror, right? Share it with your daughter or your son. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're having that moment, share it with them. Because sometimes that internal stuff, like kids will pick up on that. They know something's going on with mom, but they don't know what it is.
Right. Right. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I know you're doing a great job as an aunt and I think I'm doing okay as a mom, but I know we can mess up sometimes. So I can start with my mama mess up, or if you want to start with your auntie mess up, you let me know.
Yeah, sure. I can go. I think the one I'm thinking about was being, I guess, letting my emotions overtake a situation and almost like accidentally shaming them, you know, and I didn't mean to do that, but it happened. And then I guess looking back to it now, I wish I would have, and actually I may have, this happened a number of years ago that I can remember. I may have gone back and said, you know, like, this is why I reacted this way. And it's not an excuse, but apologizing, right? For overreacting in an emotional way. And I think that's important too, is to admit when you make a mistake or when you react to something negatively, to explain what happened and why, and also apologize.
Mm-hmm. I try to do that with Stuart too. Yeah. If I have, my voice gets too loud or I get upset about something that's out of proportion to what's going on, I'll explain, I didn't have a good sleep last night. I'm sorry that I reacted that way. It didn't have to do with you. So I love that you shared that.
Yeah.
Thank you. And my mama mess up was a brain fog moment. So we'd gotten back from the cottage last weekend and Sunday afternoon, I took Stuart out to the park. Pete was going to come and meet us after he took care of a few things. So I told Pete we were at this park. I'm like, oh yeah, we're at Greenwood Park. And so it took a while and he still hadn't gotten to the park and I knew he'd left a while ago. So I called him and I said, where are you? And he's like, well, I'm at Greenwood Park. And I'm like, oh, I'm at a different park on Greenwood Avenue, but I just said the wrong park name. So So he walked like the half hour on a really hot day, and he was bringing snacks and water play clothes for Stuart. So Stuart and I were hungry and hot. So we improvised. I had to take him to the store to buy something to eat and let him run around in the water in his clothes. So we made the best of it. But I was like, wow, I can't believe I told you the wrong park.
Oops.
Anyway, that happens, right? So my brain was still on vacation from the weekend. But and then Kayla, what's your must have? So something you just can't live without lately.
Oh, that's a good question. Must have.
I can go first if you need to think about
it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so mine, and talking about, you know, movement and training, I get sick of my usual workout. I said the word workout, but routine. So I bought some mini resistance bands at my sister's suggestion because she was loving them. And it's really mixed up my workouts. And there's some great online classes by Heather Robertson. She has a YouTube channel. She has a bunch of variety of workouts. She also has mini band ones. So it's just fun to mix up how I'm moving my body.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then what's your must have? Have you thought of something?
Yeah. So this one might seem kind of, it's not an actual product, but it's a something like lately that I can't live without is sleep, like prioritizing my sleep and making sure that I'm getting enough sleep at night so that I can function, you know, without the brain fog and everything, running two businesses and all of that. And, you know, I can imagine with moms, that would be a thing too, right? Prioritizing my sleep.
Mm-hmm. That's so important. And it gets put on the back burner for a lot of people, and it will influence our energy, mood, hormones, even, you know, our hunger levels the next day. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you for sharing. Is it working out? Or are you getting the hours that you need?
Yeah, I have been, because I can be flexible in my schedule. And I was going to add one thing is, like, one thing I can live without is social media in my life. Like, I want to go on a detox for sure. That's one of the things that I think impacts my sleep, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I'm on there too much, like being entertained by, you know, not necessarily in a negative way, but just being entertained by other reels and stuff like that. And that's why that's my barrier to getting the proper sleep, because I'm not, you know, making that rule with myself. Okay, no social media past, you know, 9 p.m. or something like that. So that's definitely something I'm going to implement.
Nice. Well, thank you for sharing. And thanks again for being a guest. So now I'm just going to go through what Dr. Tony and I have coming up. So Dr. Tony has another hypnobirthing info session for expecting parents looking to trust their instincts and their body during labor and birth. So you can sign up at www.hypnobirthingcalgary.com/forward/to-register. And then I am launching my next enrollment of the Wild Collective Toronto. It's this fall 2021. So you can get all the information, sign up for the masterclass at wildcollectivetoronto.com. So you can learn more about this international and revolutionary women's health community program. You don't want to miss out. Only 20 women are accepted each enrollment. So be sure to check out the website and get all the information you need. So thank you everybody for joining us today. You can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So thanks again, Kayla, and stay safe and healthy, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye.